Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
The title of my message today is The Power of a Step. I want to read from Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 tonight. It'll probably come up behind me, but it's probably a good thing to open your Bible if you have one anyway. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, what I see in this passage of Scripture is three things. I see a promise, a command, and a warning. And those three things transcend the circumstances and the person to whom it was spoken, and it speaks, in fact, to every person who has a heart to fulfill God's purposes in their lives. So three things. God's promise, I am with you. In every way, I believe God is with us. In everything we go through, even the things that we've talked about this morning, God is with people of faith. God's command, be courageous. Be courageous in life and in ministry. And the third thing is God's warning, be careful to obey. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Now, about a month ago, you'll remember that as a church, we came together, we closed our campuses for the Sunday, and we all came together for Vision Sunday in the city, and we ran four services through the day, and it was an inspiring day. I really love it when vision is cast and the people of faith rise up to take hold of it. And it's so exciting to see what God is doing in Pneuma Church right now. But I believe that what we're moving into is not just a new season, but I actually believe it's the start of a new era. The foundation and the history of our church is, you know, already itself is truly inspiring, but the future is out there, and God has called us to head straight into it. Now, it's no small vision that God has laid upon Pneuma Church. As I read the Word of God here in Joshua, I believe that these are words that resonate in our own heart today, that God is with us. That he's calling us to courageously step into all that he's laid before us. But at the same time, he's saying, be careful to obey. Stay focused. Keep your eyes fixed on the goal and lead God's people into the vision. So practically, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us as the body of Christ? What does it mean for us as the people of Pneuma Church? For us as individuals? You see, the vision that we have as a church isn't just for a few individuals to work out. It's for all of us to participate in. The reason we came together as a church a month ago was to inspire each person to see that we all have a part to play in what God is doing across our churches, not only in Australia, but in Bangkok and eventually in the other places where we plant over the next few years. We're all co-workers in the harvest. And while we all have different parts to play, some of us are called to make it our full-time vocation, but for many of you, your vocation is actually part of your ministry, but your ministry is bigger than your vocation, because everything we do works together to outwork God's plan in our lives. You may recall in our One Life series just in November, this is not something that we do on the side. This is our life. This is our call. This is, you know, to serve the Lord with our whole heart and give everything we can to and for the kingdom's cause. And so with these statements in mind from Joshua chapter 1, let's turn to Joshua chapter 3. Just over the page. Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, a hero of faith, and I just love reading of his life. Here we are. I'm going to read the whole chapter 3. So follow through with me here. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark and do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so that they may know that I'm with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the word of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. And see, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap in a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. When the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Now, Joshua was a man of faith and a man of courage, and there's so much that we can learn from a study of his life. But what we see at this point is that he's still getting his head around the fact that God had called him to be the one that led the people into promise. Now, understand something about Joshua. He was 78 years old when this happened. He had, that's just amazing, because sometimes, you know, we get older in our lives and we think, oh, well, that's it, you know, now we'll just leave everything to the younger people. But at 78, he was just getting fired up. He was just getting started. God called him to lead the people. So don't be telling me that there's nothing to do when we get older. Now that I'm in my 60s, I just want to keep pumping on there. You know, in fact, Joshua was only just really starting. Joshua was, God was still building him up because he had more for him to do. It wasn't just about getting them over. It was then about taking the land. And God encouraged him and prepared him for this time. This was what he was born for. This was the time when the favor of the Lord really fell upon him. You see, Moses had done so much for the nation to bring it to the place where it was poised to walk into its destiny. But now the time had come. A new leader was emerging, a man who God had his hand on, a man who went on to lead the people into a time of expansion like they had never known before. And it all began here on the banks of the Jordan. You know, when I think back over 2019 in our church, I think it's a little bit like being on the banks of the Jordan. You know, amazing things happened on the banks of the Jordan. God was with them every day. The power and the presence of God was evident. The protection and provision was there, still with the people after 40 years. But the generation of the day was poised and ready for more. It was just the beginning. The Jordan, the banks of the Jordan was just the beginning, the launching point. And here at Pneuma Church, I think something is really stirring right now, and God has laid upon us incredible vision, and now I believe is our time to step into it. There is power in the step. And at the word of Joshua, which was the voice of the Lord to the people, one step and the waters parted. Verse 15 says, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this is pretty amazing. And I can imagine the people near the banks of the Jordan wondering how on earth they were going to get across. You know, they'd heard the word of the Lord here, but, you know, sometimes our natural thinking says, yeah, okay, but how? How's it actually going to happen? But you know what I've found is that when God is involved in something, whether in our own lives or in our corporate life as a church, all it takes is our obedience. All it takes is the word of the Lord to bring purpose and direction, and one step later, it all becomes clearer. Now, understand that that doesn't mean that things all just fall into place totally. You know, I mean, there were still challenges ahead for the people of Israel, and as we step into the purposes of God in our own lives and as a church, we'll probably have some challenges. But if God is for us, then tell me who can be against us. Now, as I contemplated these verses in relation to the church, I really felt God saying, not only is there a way forward, but it's wide and it's open, and I've prepared it for you. Now think about this. Think about how big our God is. You know, our God is the one who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's proven true for over 2,000 years. You see, our God has always been faithful. In the history of Pneuma Church and Bridge Church and Richmond Assembly of God and Richmond Temple, all the names our church has had over 95 years, time after time we have seen God move in powerful ways. But I'm telling you, there's more. There's much more. And we're the generation that's going to step into it. We are stepping into it right now. Isaiah 42, verse 9 says, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. You see, what God is saying here is not that what's gone before is not good or positive, but now, 2020, those are former things. They are the things of the past, and while the past is a strong foundation for the future, God is moving forward, and God is looking for the next season in the life of the church. And while all that you and I have done and all that you and I have seen, God, do in our own lives and accomplish in our church and in our city and in the nations of the world. All of that is mind-blowing, it's inspiring, but the truth is God is more interested in where you're going and what you're prepared to do to get there. So this is what God is saying to the people here in the book of Joshua. In verse 3 and 4, it says, the officers were sent through the camp to say, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move from your positions and follow it, and then you will go, since you have never been this way before. So I love this, you know, that step, their step opened a way for a whole new dimension for the people of Israel. And it's only as they fully embraced what God was opening before them and moved into it that their inheritance became their now reality. And as we put our trust in God and with a determination to step into new territory, unknown territory even, God will open the way. So what does this mean to step in to the new things, something new in God? What will it take of us, the people of Pneuma Church? There's three things that I see in this chapter that are your responsibility as believers and carriers of the vision of purpose. Three steps into the promise. The first is step up and see. The second is step out and follow. And the third is step over into the promise. So step up and see. The order went out, the people. Verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. You know, for 800 years, the Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred and holy object in the world. And it was the point of identification for the Israelites. It was a manifestation of God's very presence on earth, and it offered protection to the people everywhere they went. And the people were encouraged to keep their eyes on the Ark. It was a powerful reminder to them that they were not alone. Now today, it's not the Ark that we keep our eyes on, but it's Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the challenge to each and every one of us is to step up and make sure we're doing everything we can to fan the flame of devotion towards the Lord. See, the truth is, we cannot be all that God wants us to be unless in every area of our life we're doing everything we can to keep our eyes on Jesus. So here's the first challenge that I want to put to you. Where are you in your personal journey with the Lord as we head into 2020? Do you need to step up? This is so important in the outworking of God's purposes in your life, because who you are when no one sees is a major key to effective Christian living. So what are you doing to ensure that your life is on track? To be sure that your eyes are on the King? What are you doing to step up and see God in your life and in your circumstances? You know, when change takes place, when God brings powerful, impacting vision to bear upon us, it can shake us up a bit. You know, maybe there are some things that God has begun to show you about what He wants to do in your life and through your life. And as excited as you might be about that, maybe you're thinking, how on earth am I going to bring this up to pass? You know, how can I contribute? What can I do? How can I be part of the plan of God? Because sometimes God opens opportunities for us and we just don't know how we're going to make them happy. But, you know, make them happen. But I think a bit of healthy unease or even fear, not crippling, destructive fear, but reverent fear before God, I think that can be a good thing. I think it'd be a perfect time for us to examine everything that's going on in our lives and to see that we are personally aligned with what God is saying and what God is doing. You see, big vision calls for big people. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us that we are not those who shrink back. Now, as we head into what may well be, which will probably more definitely, I could say, be the most exciting season, the new exciting era of the church, Pneuma Church. Perhaps it's time for a reflection and start with an audit of our own lives before the Lord. So here's a question. Are your eyes first and foremost on the King? And how is your personal devotional life? You see, that's where it all starts. You know, the strength of what God wants to impart into us corporately doesn't come from a couple of hours in a church service once a week or a midweek meeting here and there. I mean, those things are important because they build the oneness and new unity, but the foundation of who we are is fundamentally built in the quiet place with just you and the Lord. If you want to bring the very best to help us reach the very best that God wants for us, you need to commit to 2020 to be stronger than ever in your personal devotional life and walk with the Lord. Remember our values? One of our values is God's Word is our foundation. It's not your personal... if that's not your personal foundation, then you will struggle corporately to consistently and effectively assist in what God is doing in the larger vision. Another one of our values is prayer fuels power. If prayer is an occasional occurrence in your private life, then your connection to His power and authority will be limited, and the practical outworking of all that God wants to do in you and through you and in us and through us will be somewhat hampered. So if you haven't done it before, or if you've settled back into maybe a bit of a cruisy year in 2019, get into the habitual plan of reading the Bible and meditating on the Word and praying in that quiet time. Get a journal and write some things down as God reveals them to you. It's amazing to look back over journals over the years and just see what God's spoken over the years. And if you don't record those things, you're missing opportunity for God to strengthen your faith. If you're not perhaps as committed to building your life in God as you should be, then today can be the day you take that step and say, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to step up today. The power of a step. And you watch what God does in your life. The second responsibility we have as believers and ones who want to see the church move forward into its destiny is step out and follow. You know, there's a really important distinction between being aware of something and engaging with something. And I dare say there would have been people on the banks of the Jordan that were quite happy to watch and see, you know, just to say, well, yeah, let's just see how things go for a while here. Happy enough to see the ark of the Lord and to know that He was with them, but to actually move into new territory, well, that might have been a bit challenging. And I can imagine one or two of the leaders coming up to Joshua, maybe having a little bit of a disagreement and saying, hey, Josh, look, great that you've got all this new stuff and new vision and, you know, you've heard from God. But I have to tell you, we've got it pretty good here on the banks of the Jordan. It's all good. It's, you know, we've got protection. We got the fire by night. We got the pillar of cloud by day. You know, everything's okay. You know, well, what's going to happen? There's so much unknown if we move. Why risk it, Josh? Why don't we just stay here? But, you know, we need to remember that the plans and the purposes of God is not about us as individuals as much as it is with us as the body of Christ. It's not about our comfort zones. It's not about our nice places and everything where we want to be. We have to step out and we have to follow the Lord and we have to keep our eyes on and step into and follow where God is going. In fact, when God moves, His presence moves with Him. And if the people had stayed on the banks of the Jordan and said, we'll just stay here, you go across and do what you need to do, well, then they wouldn't have been under the protection of the Lord anymore, because they weren't moving where God was moving. Sometimes, even in church life, it's possible to get comfortable in our routines and our patterns and forget that it's not really about us, but it's about kingdom purpose, of which we all play a significant role. Now, I guess we all like comfortable. I like comfortable. I had a pair of slippers for years that just got worn out. You know, probably everybody's got this story too. And they got holes in them and that, but I loved them and they were comfortable. I just got them where I wanted them to be. And Carol just kept saying, I'm going to get you a new pair. I said, don't you dare, I like those. And eventually they disappeared one day, and for that Father's Day, I got a new pair of slippers. So, you know, see, I'm a routine person and I like consistency in things, but sometimes things need to change. And the most important thing is that you're in tune with what God is doing and you are going with where God is going. You see, it's not about understanding it all. It's not about having the future so mapped out that it's clear and there's no uncertainty. The people had to follow before they fully knew where they were going. They had to step out in faith and follow where God was leading. Now, here's the thing for Pneuma Church. God wants to take us where we've never been before. What does it look like? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, we only know in part. But to me, that's the exciting thing about it. See, we have a pretty good idea, but God clarifies it and defines it and refines it as we walk in it and towards it. And just like the Israelites who looked to the ark, the symbol of the Lord's presence going before them, you can walk with confidence because one thing is sure, God knows where he's going and he will make the way plain to us and show himself as we step into 2020 and 2021 and 2022 and 20, and on we go. The power of a step to be prepared to go in the direction of the Lord wherever it might lead. Step out and follow. The third thing we see here is step over into the promise. Verse 15 and 16, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Now here's the thing. God said, put your foot in the water and step over. And in my life, I have found that whenever I act in faith and I do what the word of the Lord says, that's when I see in greater measure the glory of God. You know, one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is not something that we can take up by ourselves because there's usually no physical evidence to what God is leading us into. When Pastor Corey first shared things of vision and things of faith, things from the Lord, but to the natural eye, they can be hard to see. But understand this. The key to unlocking the power of faith in your life is this. By the time the people got to the water's edge, they had their eyes on the Lord, they had followed the Ark of the Covenant, and the step of faith is what parted the way. The power of a step. Now, right now, there may be aspects of our corporate vision or areas of our personal, of your personal purpose and direction that you're struggling to fully comprehend and understand and get behind. But let me simply say this. God does not fail his people. So if he speaks something into your life, he's going to bring it to pass if you walk along the journey with him. And God does not fail his church. When God laid before them, what God laid before them on the other side of the Jordan, beyond their view at that time, was a land flowing with blessing that Joshua and Caleb had had a taste of 40 years before as they were the two of the spies that entered the land. They came back and they said, we can do this, but 10 others didn't. So for 40 years, he held on to this vision that we can go in and that land is good for us. And now the dream and the vision of entering the land comes to pass. The key for each and every one of us is the attitude and response we have to the Lord in personal and corporate vision. God's word demands our action. Step up and see. Step up and follow. Step out and follow. And step over into the promise. The power of a step. And the journey of Pneuma Church continues, and we're so glad that each and every one of you are a part of it. So let me confirm what I confidently know in my spirit, that you're here today because you are one of God's chosen, and He wants the best for you, and He wants the best through you. And also this church, this is His church. This is God's church. He loves it. He wants the best for it, and He will outwork His plan. Jeremiah 29:11 is a word I believe in season for the church. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, I honestly feel so blessed to be part of a vibrant, spirit-filled, God-encountering, vision-inspired church that has such a depth of heritage and yet does not rest on its laurels but continues to reach out for everything that God has for us.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.